Well, once again, you and me, no Duffy.
It's getting to be a bit of a joke, isn't it, to be honest?
It's...
And he cancelled last week. He cancelled last week as well, didn't he?
Well, no. It was me. It was me. I had emergency... Well, it's not. It wasn't an emergency, but some friends that were trying to get back to the U.S. had to stay with me because the airports weren't having flights out on Monday during the Queen's funeral.
So did they get to go the next day, or...?
Yep. Yep, they got up at 7, or left at 7 the next morning, and got on a flight. But, yeah, it's just kind of crazy. They get all the way there, and then find out that they can't fly out. So I don't know why there wasn't a message sent out. Maybe British people just know these things.
Well, I wouldn't have known, to be honest. Did you watch the funeral?
I watched a little bit of it, but then I went and played disc golf, like literally every other person I knew. No one talked to each other, but suddenly everyone was at the course together.
It's a free day. I'm not a royalist, so I weren't really that bothered, but it was a free day, wasn't it? Just to go and do what you wanted.
It was it was a free day. It was a really nice day, actually, weather-wise.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Ended up playing a lot of golf. But yeah. So, yeah, Duffy's on vacation still, I take it.
Yeah, he's for someone who moans about never having any money, he seems to always be away.
Well, that's why I didn't have any money.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm the only one, this is not meant in a bad way, Josh, right, but I'm the only one that's 100% every single show, aren't I?
You, what did you call yourself the last time? The something pin?
Linchpin.
Linchpin, yeah.
I don't actually know what a linchpin is, but it sounds good.
I feel like it's the pin that goes in, like,
the
like
trailer. Yeah.
That holds the hitch from, like, falling out.
That's me. I've got broad shoulders as well, so.
Like maybe without you, we could get the job done, but there's a chance that it could all just completely fall apart at any time, and we're not willing to take that risk.
A linchpin is a fastener used to prevent a wheel or other part from sliding off an axle that it is riding on. The word is first attested in the late 14th century and derives from Middle English elements meaning axle tree pin. So that's a word that's older than your country, Josh, by quite a few years.
I mean, our country is a baby. I do realize that. Yeah. But anyway, there you go. Linchpin.
Yeah. We didn't know where to go there, did we? I love it not having Duffy, because we just sort of like bumble our way through, don't we?
Yeah. And then I end up editing half out, but you don't realize it because you never listen back.
I went through a real, like... Here's the honest answer. During the summer, pretty much like there's cricket on every couple of days, so I'm always listening to the cricket. But during the winter, I will actually listen to our shows. Like, it's sort of like... But no one wants to hear themselves speaking anyway, do they?
No, I listen back just in case I've edited or left something terrible in.
Who would do that, Josh? None of us would do that.
I don't listen for my voice. I listen for your voice.
I don't do anything wrong. I've never once said anything that needs editing out. It must have been Duffy.
it's a hard job sometimes. And then deciding what to leave and what, you know, are people going to think this is a joke? Are they going to get offended?
I don't worry about offending people. I'm not too, like, militant with my views on anything. I'm fairly middle of the road with everything. But sometimes you can't help but offend people.
Well, once again, we miss Duffy. I think he's in Florida playing with Mickey Mouse, right?
Mickey Mouse, yeah. And he told me that he's going to eat a lot of different fast foods as well.
What was the... Oh, he said he was at Chick-fil-A and was definitely going to go back before he left.
Yeah, he's told me that Chick-fil-A is one of the best anyway.
It's so good. But they get a bad rap for funding, like, basically, like, gay camps or, like...
Do they?
Yeah.
What, as in anti?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean, there was one case, and so, like, they tried to build a Chick-fil-A in London, and I think they protested it, and within, like, 3 or 4 days, they just shut the whole thing down.
Did they actually?
Yeah.
Well, I won't go to Chick-fil-A then.
Well, that's the problem. So, when I was growing up there, like, of course, no one knew that. The chicken is amazing. This chicken sandwich, just the number one. So, you know, it's really hard on your moral, it's a moral test, but I just can't turn it down. I don't agree, but I can't turn it down.
You're funding those camps?
I mean, I feel terrible.
Now I say that, you're funding those camps. I hope that makes you feel bad.
It does. But you know what makes me feel good?
Chick-fil-A.
It's a terrible world. I know.
That is nasty, that is.
Anyway, I'm going to see if he's going to bring me back a chicken biscuit in, like, on the plane.
What, like, sneak it in?
Because they'll have one at the airport.
Yeah, but would you really want... would you really want, especially chicken, a burger that's been in... that's probably... A, how's he going to get it to you? Are you going to meet him at the airport?
I was going to say, I'd meet him at the airport, because that way it'd be like the least amount of time for that chicken to go off.
It's still going to be 14 hours old, though, by the time he's through.
Maybe you're right. Yeah, with customs and drug dogs sniffing the chicken biscuit before he even makes it in.
You know, he's, oh, they'll be eating it, won't they?
Yeah.
But the dogs have more of a moral compass than you do.
The dog's going to smell that chicken and just be like, nope.
Exactly. Have you asked him to get you anything whilst he's out there?
If it's a police dog, it probably doesn't care.
No, exactly. Have you asked him to get anything whilst he's out there?
No, but I probably should. But, like, I don't know what... Like, I can get a few more packs of that cornbread that I made you guys from last weekend.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. What, the stuff that you tell me is savoury, but it's more like a cake?
It is sweet, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's kind of a trick question, though, because we eat it with savoury things on, like, you know, it's like Thanksgiving, so you have, like, all the stuff on the plate and then a slice of cornbread.
I don't mix sweet and savoury, though, I don't. I wouldn't eat a pork chop with a slice of Victoria sponge. Do you know what I mean?
it's not that sweet. It is sweet, but you know you're eating like a, I don't know. Maybe you're just right, and I'm just used to it tasting that way.
But then it's like pork and applesauce. I don't like that.
I don't know if I've even had that.
It's like cranberry and. Do you have cranberry and turkey? Do you do that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a bit like that.
The cranberry is more, like, tart than sweet, though, usually.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a Thanksgiving meal with any Americans?
No, because the only Americans I know are you and Dennis.
Yeah. It's I'm getting excited. We're only a few weeks away from Thanksgiving. But anyway, should we start the show?
I think we best, haven't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, it's time for In the Chains. The UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Welcome back to another episode of In the Chains. Tonight we have on the tee box Mr. Bowen.
Hello, Mr. Birmingham.
Hello. Well, you've done my introduction.
That I was going to say, yeah, exactly. Yeah, because it's hard with only two people, isn't it?
That was so difficult. But yeah, I don't know if you can tell, but I've got a little cold or something going on.
You've got the old COVID?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's just a little change of seasons type thing.
I think it doesn't matter if you have or haven't anyway, Josh, nowadays. No one cares anymore. Well, I'm sure people care, but you don't have to test or anything, do you?
No, and who knows? I could have had it in the past and just been a carrier, gave lots of people COVID and never knew.
Exactly.
But on that note,
I was going to say, what have you been up to today specifically? Because you sent a photo in the group.
I was beating up on innocent teenagers in Croydon on the disc golf course. And I retrieved my number one tag back from Cam. It was a good day.
Who had it before Cam? Because that's been around a few people now, hasn't it?
I think, so I gave it to Connor. Connor gave it to Keen. Keen gave it to Cam. Cam gave it to me.
So you got it back now. And when does it finish?
I don't actually remember. Maybe end of year.
So you'll hold on to it now, won't you?
Yeah, so basically I won the tag and everyone was staying, of course, except me. So I got made to look like the jerk, but I was never going to stay for more than one round anyway. So I should have put that out before we started because it didn't look very good. You just like take the one tag and just like, all right, boys, I'll see you later.
It didn't really matter if you're staying or not. You'd have beat them again, wouldn't you?
You never know. That's just golf. Plus, it was really windy today. So anything could have happened. But yeah, anyway.
Is there even bigger news to speak about, though, from your end?
I don't know specifically what you're talking about.
I think you're being modest now.
Oh, now I know what you're talking about. Sorry, I was just thinking about Croydon and...
No.
Anyway, but yes, yeah. So you may have seen a picture of me with a British flag behind me, which is hilarious. But yeah, I just signed a deal with EV7, the putter company out of Georgia. So I'm now officially a manufactured, sponsored, well, they said athlete. I didn't say it, but they said athlete.
There's rumors going around that you're the first six-figure sponsored athlete in the UK.
Yeah, if you carry the decimal three times to the right.
Okay. And a couple more. And are you having to pay them, are you, Josh?
No, this is a real deal. I'm excited. I don't know that they know that I suck. So, you know, at least for a year, they have to do the deed. But after that, they might realize they've made a mistake.
I think you're being harsh on yourself there, because did they set you the challenge or did you set yourself the challenge for your rating?
Well, you know, most of us are trying to get better all the time, no matter what, you know, your starting number is or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, the goal was to always, you know, be a higher rated player. But I did ask them, like, you know, a while back, because I do like the company and I wanted to represent the company from home as well. But they did tell me that my rating was too low at the time. So it went up 1 point, like, 2 weeks after that, and I sent them, like, jokingly, like, are we talking yet? And they said no. So anyway, yeah, just like I said, squeaky wheel gets the grease, so I just kept squeaking and eventually I got the grease.
That's the best way to be. I did this with a manufacturer for the shop, and I literally pestered and pestered and pestered until they went around saying, yes, no, that's the way. Sometimes you've just got to be persistent, haven't you?
Yeah.
But I think you've earned it anyway, Josh.
Well, I appreciate it. It's a good connection to have and kind of spread the word for them here. But also, I really, really like the way the putters feel, and this is the best I've ever been at putting, so I'm going to give some of the credit to the mold itself.
Which mold are we speaking about?
I use the Penrose.
Yeah.
And they have different plastic, like, flexes, so you can get, like, soft, medium, hard, or base. That's four. Anyway, but yeah, it's kind of an overstable putter, so you can just trust it pretty much in any wind to just do its normal thing. You don't really have to adjust much for headwinds or
what would you compare like it to, Josh? A P2?
A Challenger?
Okay.
So, yeah, but they have four molds now. And, but yeah, I'm going to get a few in each plastic with my signature on them. So that's like a dream come true. But I'll be selling them and giving them to special people or just people I want to like try them out, see if we can get a few.
I thought you said you're not being Mr. Nice Guy. This is a perk. We've got to sell them because it's a perk of your deal.
I mean, I'm going to sell most of them, but you know, there's a few people it'd be cool to just be like, have this because like your best friends, they're not going to buy one because they don't want to have something with your name on the bag and you being like,
I'm going to buy one. Josh, I think as a friend, if you're that much of a friend for someone, you sort of buy it to say, here you go, mate, I'm supporting you. You don't say, come on, you've got that, now give me one. You say, I want to support you. Like, do you know, because I have a thing, because I'm an electrician, everyone assumes, oh, my mate will come and, as in me, oh, come round my house and sort this for us. Come round my house and sort that. I know who my real friends are because they'll at least give me some. I never ask full price for any, because I don't really do that kind of work anymore. I'm office based now. But if anyone says, can you look at this? I'll say, yeah, give us 20 quid, give us 30 quid. If they don't offer, they're not your mate, Josh. That's what I was always taught.
Well, I agree.
For anyone that doesn't know, we all met up, Josh, Duffy, Dennis and I, speaking in proper English now.
Wow.
We met up at Dinton Pastures and created a YouTube video, and it was Team Slambo versus Team Eat My Shorts. I still don't know why they use that, and it's the corniest name ever, but it makes it even funnier.
They both wear shorts all the time.
But it's an American joke, that is. It's not really a...
It's from The Simpsons, isn't it? Isn't that what Bart Simpson used to say all the time?
But we're too cool to just do things like that. It's got to be witty. Like, Slambo works, I think. Like, I like that.
It's easy.
But like, we filmed this YouTube video. We're not going to talk about that round because we want you to watch it. But we had a round afterwards, and it was a friendly round, wasn't it? We were having a laugh and a joke. And halfway round, I don't know what happened, but Duffy started fuming at me, like real chuntering away. You need to stop talking. Every time I throw, you talk. Blah, blah, blah. I've had enough of it. I just thought, what the hell are you? Sorry, mate. I'm so sorry. I was really, like, sarcastic. But, oh, sorry, mate. I won't do it again. I don't know what's wrong with him.
I thought that maybe it's like a good practice tool to like focus in and make the shot.
Yeah.
While there's a bit of distraction going on. You're actually doing him a favor.
Exactly. So, really.
He didn't see it that way.
But the problem is he threw one bad shot, tried blaming it on me. When everyone was talking the three of us, me, Dennis, and you just started laughing, really, didn't we?
Yeah.
I'd perhaps know why he was fuming and why he wanted to play well. We've got the team bag tags, haven't we?
Yep.
Duffy didn't want Dennis taking the number two with him back to America.
There was a lot of pressure there, I think.
So I think that's why he was perhaps letting the pressure get to him. And technically, I should have the number 5, which Dennis has as well, but I let him off, didn't I? Because...
Oh, CTP challenge.
At the end of the round, he wanted to play. He'd lost to Duffy. He'd lost his tag to... Or he'd, Duffy retained his tag. And he, and Dennis said to Duffy, "Show a CTP, or CTT, it would have been, wouldn't it? Closest to the T.
Yeah.
And Duffy's like, "Nah." But because Dennis had offered it to him, "I've got number 8. I said, "I'll play you for it." And so he sort of felt obliged to have to do it. And you were like, "I'll just play it for jokes. Like, we'll play it for the first point at the pub as well."
Yeah.
You put it close. I put it just as close.
Closer.
It was neck and neck, wasn't it, really?
I think you were closer by a foot.
And Dennis and Duffy, they shanked them, didn't they? Real bad.
And actually, Duffy was the worst.
But he was closer than Dennis. He was just in the bushes, wasn't he?
Yeah, but then... Wait, or was Dennis farthest away?
Dennis was far left. Duffy was right, but Dennis
was...
Oh,
yeah. You're right. Dennis lost it. He was the last place. But because he did something special for the video, we didn't want him to pay for the first pint. So then it fell to Duffy. And we all know he'd never buy the first pint for all of us.
And we know as well that he won't stick to his end of the bargain like... when he lost to me in that I can reach the flag. We know it was past, and he's gonna say he's still got me biting because it was age. It went past. We know it did.
You can't call it a bite. That's like you're just making bets up just to troll people. That's not how it works.
Exactly.
You gotta pay up.
I know he's not here now. You don't feel peer pressured into it. It would. My shot was definitely past the flag, wasn't it?
I was on your side the entire time.
I think it was Dennis who wasn't it? Dennis had to pull the splinters out of his arse because he was sat on the fence. But yeah, let's go back to we got Duffy to bite. I got my first sort of. Because it's quite, I'd say it's not hard, but it's not easy, Dinton, is it?
It's got a few tricky holes. Specifically, hole 2, for some reason, is always tricky because of the low ceiling, I guess. And it's just long enough to where, like, you can't really throw, like, your zone or something. You have to kind of, maybe like a fairway driver or something, just to kind of cut the ceiling, But yeah, that hole, there's like a few holes with OB that's real close around the basket.
Yeah.
It's a good course, though, and I hadn't been there since they put the new baskets in.
So that's a nice surprise for you as well.
They could use some tee pads, which I don't know if they've started saving or have money to do that in the near future, but I don't know. With Croydon, we just ran a few events. And have people donate on the side as well, you know, or take club membership fees and kind of save up for that. But you can do it yourself. We have a good model. So if anyone there wants help with tee pads, let me know.
There we go. Josh is offering to go and build them all for you for free.
I mean, it's just nice. I mean, you could sit here and say, "Oh, it's a nice course, but it sucks. They don't have tee pads." Or you could be like, "How can we get tee pads for this course?" Because it makes all the difference.
I liked it. I've only played it once before that, and I didn't enjoy it. It was a horrible windy day in the middle of winter, and I wasn't very good. But I did, and I scored. I'm quite happy with how I played, because in the round we had after the video, I shot 8 over, which for me... it's really not bad at all. So on a proper course, I'm fairly happy with that. And I don't even think, I don't even remember playing that great either. I didn't have loads of great shots, but I just seemed to have enough to keep me there.
It was not a high stress round either, though, right? It felt just like a non, you just like ended the round. And you're like, ah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. It was amazing. Duffy, on the other hand, was fuming. But there we go.
he pulled out the win, even though Dennis did have him by a couple of shots there for a while. It did look like it was going to go Dennis's way, but Duffy wasn't having it.
No, he pulled it through in the end. Can we go back to your disc, your signature disc, can we?
Well, we pretty much covered it.
I was wondering, what are you having on it?
Well, I don't have, it's not like a tour series, so there's not going to be some extravagant art or anything.
You can't get a stamp done.
Well, I'm going to have, it's going to be a signature series, so it's basically going to be, you know, like a 12-time Firebird. It has all, like, the Firebird stuff on it.
Yeah.
But then it's just got King Climo's name somewhere and signature, so it's just going to be something like that where you'll see, like, it's a Penrose or whatever mold I pick, and then, you know, my signature, and I have a little logo that will go on there, but it'll look quite clean.
Can you have Birmingham Slam on it?
I thought about it.
Do it, Josh.
Maybe that could be, so like I have the emblem, which is like a J and a B in a cool little way, and then maybe I just have, for the signature itself, just Birmingham Slam. That way, I'm not typing it out. You're not really going to know. You'll just think it's Birmingham.
That's class. That'd be class.
Yeah. So maybe I'll do that. But now I've got to get like, you call it a vector when someone does like your signature, like art, like a vector?
What?
I don't know. I just need to get my signature digitized, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
If you take a photo of it, Josh, it might come out a bit scratchy. What I do at work is get someone to take a photo of their signature, and it can be on crap, it can be crap in crap light, and then what I'll do is I'll go into paint and I'll paint it black and white.
Yeah. But
to be honest, it'll probably look a bit scratchy.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a place to like, you could pay someone to do this, but I'm sure someone in the disc golf community has the capability on their computer, like a really nice Photoshop type deal.
Would you be willing? I know we said no, or I said no for you, and it's not up to me at all. Would you be willing to give away a disc if someone could do that for you?
Oh yeah, that's all day.
There we go.
So if anyone listening knows a person that does digital art, please have them, let me contact them.
Right. Going on to other discs, not signature this time. You, on our round intern, I think you found a couple of discs that might go in the bag.
Oh, yeah. Well, one for sure. The other, I'm not even going to give a chance.
That's nasty.
There's two sides in the disc golf world right now. People who throw bergs and people who don't. And I'm going to remain in the dark for the people who don't.
You threw a berg, and what happened?
It went straight under the basket and stopped.
So why would you not get one? They are one of the cheapest discs you can buy.
How much is it?
I think we don't have any of the K3 in at the moment. But we've got the K1s, which aren't as good, for £14, which is probably a bit too much. I could get you a K3. I'm not going to tell you the price, because I'll do it you at wholesale, but it is one of the cheapest discs you can buy.
We'll see. I just feel like I'm starting to get too many molds.
What would it replace a Jawbreaker's own? Is that what you're saying?
No.
And you don't want to do that.
No, I don't really know what it would replace. It's kind of like its own disc, isn't it? Like, there's nothing like it.
Why are you so anti-bagging it then? If you threw it once from about 70 metres, I'd say it was at least 70 metres away, would you?
Yeah, ish. Yeah, yeah.
You parked it. You threw it once and you parked it. why wouldn't you at least give it a go?
I don't know. Just something inside of me. I couldn't tell you what it is, but something inside just says, don't do it.
Fair enough. You're entitled to your own opinion. It might be a wrong opinion, but you're entitled to it.
Well, at least you're not trying to silence me.
No, exactly. I'd never do that. My name's not Thomas Duffield. What was the other one?
And the other one.
Have you got one yet?
No. I'm super excited about it. It is a pyro in. Help me out.
In plasma. Proton, isn't it? Plasma. Oh, I don't know. I've got one
plasma
in my back.
Proton.
Yeah, plasma proton. So an MVP pyro. Or is it Axiom? I think it's an Axiom.
Who knows? That's part of the reason I never really got into those discs is because there's too many people making them, too many types of plastic. The names are all very weird. They don't give you a clue as to what any of it does.
No, they don't.
The only reason I know this is a good disc is because you put it in my hand. But it is a really good disc, I gotta say. So a lot of people I'm talking to right now say that it's better than their Rock 3, which I agree, partly. Rock 3s are amazing. Backhand. They don't really hold up to a forehand. So this Pyro is a perfect like forehand mid-range, in my opinion.
Who else has recommended it to you, apart from me?
Christian Joseph.
Yeah, good man.
Josh Dyer.
I have a feeling one the nicest man in UK disc golf throws them as well. And you mentioned his name. He lost the tag to Cam.
Adam Keane.
He throws them as well, I think. I could be wrong, but I think he does.
I'm not sure. The guy throws a little bit of everything, I think.
Yeah, he does.
What
I like so much about them is I was throwing the Gator, but I find the Gator's a bit wobbly when I throw it. It's not very torque resistant. Although it's overstable, it's not very torque resistant. Something about my Pyro's dead flat. It's dead flat on top. It's probably a little more, I don't know, it throws straight until at the end and then it dumps off at the end. And it's very torque resistant as well.
It's like a slower Sexton Firebird.
Yes, it is. I'd agree with that.
It's not so overstable. It actually flies.
Yes. It's perfect.
Yeah, and I threw it into a pretty good headwind, and it broke left for a minute on a forehand, just like barely turned over. But you never thought it was just going to burn out. It just for a second, and then started hyzering out.
You'll enjoy it. I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I've needed that disc or that slot in my bag filled for the entire season, basically, because there's like certain holes that like you can't really reach with the zone. And maybe they're not really set up for a Firebird. Like, you just need that touch more distance.
That's something in the middle. It is in the middle of a zone and a Firebird, I think. It definitely is.
Yeah. So, it's really good. I've got two on the way.
You've got two?
Well, yeah, they're both used, so I picked them up pretty cheap. Just to kind of give them a go. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully they'll be here. Both of them will be here tomorrow from separate people. So,
are you getting out this week to give them a go, or is that you done for the week?
Well, I'm gonna work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It gets dark pretty early. Plus, I get really tired after work. So I may get out to the field on Friday because I got to start basically doing a little bit of practice because Champs is coming up.
Oh, and, yeah.
I feel like my putt's pretty good at the moment.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Although I did miss... Well, we'll get into that. But yeah, I feel like it's pretty good at the moment, but I don't want to sleep on that. I want to keep it going. So I need to do that and probably just practice a bunch of approaches, really. Backhand and forehand. I know it's going to be tricky at Whitcomb for Champs.
Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I've never played there. So it's kind of like, no matter your feelings on how the BDGA ran the season or how it went down or how points were situated, I feel like it's a worthwhile trip to go and play the event because of the course itself. From all that I've heard from people, it's like the best course.
Yeah. Well, the best two courses, isn't it? Are you playing two separate courses there?
Yeah. So I, you know, I've been meaning to go for years, and this is like an official chance to say, right, I have a tournament. It's British Champs. I can take the weekend. The wife will allow it.
Nice. And can I just add, I'm done moaning about the BDGA. I don't want it to come across like I am moaning. Pretty much the last few months, I've only been messing when I say I don't like the BDGA. They tried something. Whether it has or hasn't worked is up for debate. I'm not going to get too emotionally attached to it.
Well, it's kind of like,
we'll see how it goes.
It's kind of like I was saying earlier with the T-pads in Denton. It's like, you could sit there and complain that there's no AM Championship, or maybe someone could step up and help the BDGA, because as far as I know, this is the most people they've had to coordinate a season for. You know, and it's like, there's only four or five of these guys who are doing this part-time, volunteer-wise, and I know that's can't be an excuse for everything, but they would definitely appreciate a hand. And if someone wants to step up and run an AM, you know, points challenge next season with a championship, I'm sure they would be more than happy to have that person on board.
I think people just need to get their opinions out there. There've been a lot of opinions recently about it that maybe weren't voiced at the time. So unless you tell them, they're not going to know, are they, Josh?
Yeah.
And you can't please everyone equally. Like, you can't please everyone, so.
Yeah. But, you know, I would agree that this season hasn't gone the way a lot of people would have liked or expected. But like you said, they're the organization. They took a chance on this new style, and I think they will be taking the feedback, you know, and trying to move forward with it. So
overall, Josh, has everyone had an enjoyable season now that it's pretty much coming to an end? I'd say so. Is it for the amateurs, is it maybe a little bit frustrating that they're not going to play in the championships? Yes. But have,
well, they could all play. That's the point. But
it's the not whole,
on a division that they're comfortable with.
Yes. Does that tarnish the whole season? Probably not.
No.
And
but, you know, we do miss the camaraderie amongst, like, all the players. Like,
yeah.
And it was just, like, the pro events, and you only had, like, a quarter of the, you know, AMs there, or vice versa. You end up kind of missing some friends out there. So, I don't know how they solve it, because I think everyone together, it'll just be a keyboard race to get into a tournament.
But then the people who want to get in, don't they, Josh?
Yeah, but the people that want to get in won't be able to get in as well. So
if it was me, what I would do is I would protect some division places. So I'd perhaps say, right, 10 open players, 5 female open players, some age-protected players, so many MA1 players, and then the rest could just go to whoever is fastest.
Do you open it up in stages where you're like, only open players for the first, you know, week of sign-ups?
Yeah, that's
and
what you do.
Anything past that, you know, can just be whatever. Or is that unfair to AMs? Are you trying to build from open down into the field? Or do you give AMs the first week of signups?
The problem is that then the pros won't get in any tournaments, will they?
That is part of the problem.
So
I guess what you say, yeah, we'll give 20 pro spots.
I think male 20's and female. I think 20's too many. Well, yeah, male and female, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's the issue they're dealing with, is how do we get, you know, we want to show that we have more players this year in the UK. So we want them all to be able to play the tournaments.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if it's growing, we don't want to stifle it in that way.
The thing, and like you say, is if you've got the fastest finger race on the keyboard, you don't actually know how many players would have entered the tournament. At least if you split up all the different groups, you might have 110 people playing on the weekend. It just turns out that 70 are amateur and the 40 are age protected and open.
Yeah.
So really, that's in the weird, we're in the sort of weird position where there aren't enough you haven't got enough players in age protected and open, but you've got enough amateurs to fill up a whole tournament. What do you do? Do you do a north-south divide? Do you do an east-west divide? What do you do?
Ooh, divisionals. Like actual regional divisions, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of the pickle they find themselves in at the moment, which it's a good problem, and there's going to be bumps along the way, and I kind of think that, unfortunately, this season was kind of a bump along the way. But, you know, they'll figure it out. I trust them.
I was a little bit vocal, a little bit aggressive. I don't want anyone to think that I'm personally attacking them. It was just how it was.
It's good bants, though, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Never take anything I say too seriously, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right. Should we talk about some news quickly before? Do you think, because we have been going on for so long now, and I know most of it will get edited out.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we should kick it to the news right after this Upper Park segment that everyone is tired of listening to.
Since 2011, Upper Park Disc Golf has focused on disc golf bags and accessories with unique styles, innovative designs, and unmatched comfort. They use cutting-edge design techniques and durable outdoor materials with a lifetime guarantee, so you can focus on what really matters, keeping it in the chains. Whether you're a Bowen or a seasoned pro, Upper Park has the bag to fit your needs. Go to upperparkdiscgolf.com today and save 10% with our code INTHECHAINS10. Now back to the show.
Bowen's Fake News.
Right, we had Maple Hill this weekend, didn't we? The MVP Open. Now, this is one of the standout tournaments of the year, isn't it, really? I think, anyway.
I'm really excited. It's like end of season tournament. There's no other place you'd really want to have the end of the season kind of like capped off, is there?
Exactly. So, and I think the result was quite interesting as well, because he's got to have been, I'm going to say it now, the best player of the year. Do you think, is that the best player on tour for the MPO anyway? Do you think that's fair to say?
I don't know what the word on the street is as far as like, the actual like player of the year awards.
Yeah.
But I think he's definitely a very strong candidate for that, because you win, was it 4 DGPT events?
Yes, he's won 4.
He still doesn't have a major though, right? It's like, I don't know, but I think winning 4 tour events, I think winning 4 tour events will put you in a good spot for it.
He at least deserves Comeback Player of the Year. We're talking about Simon Lazzotta, aren't we?
Yeah, he did it. It was such a surprise as well.
He was on Chase Card, wasn't he?
Yeah, Chase Card. I know Ben Callio was 4 strokes back, who was the best on their card starting out, and I can't remember how far back Simon was, maybe like 1 or 2. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm just really happy for him. He said at no point during the tournament, up until like, you know, the final round, did he think he was in position to win. So it's probably a pretty cool feeling to just plug away, get to the end of the round, and just be like, I think I did it.
Because he didn't have the best first round, did he?
No. But, you know, going in the third round, who was it at the top? Oh, Smellis. Corey Smellis.
Corey Ellis.
I know, I'm calling him Smellis because he's gotten so close. He could basically smell the trophy a few times this year.
And he just hasn't quite done it.
I felt terrible for him. They showed him on camera, like in the little house right behind 18's screen.
Like when they're in the clubhouse. The clubhouse.
Yeah, they showed him in the clubhouse, like basically as Simon's out there doing his like victory lap and like shaking hands with everybody. And he just had his head in his hands, sitting in a chair, just like, I've done it again. Because he was in position to win going on the 18th hole through a great drive. It was just a pitch up forehand with like a zone or something. And he just launched it too far, which I know I said easy, but it probably wasn't easy with all the emotions and the pressure of what that shot meant. But technically speaking, he should have won that event.
Is he a Discraft sponsored player?
Yeah.
He's not on the team though, is he? Is he on the team?
Well, they have different levels, don't they? He might not be on like the top.
Is he on the underground?
I think underground's like ambassadors.
Oh, is it? I should really know because I cover the news, shouldn't I? Should we do an end of season review, home and abroad? Home and Pro Tour coming up soon. Should we do that?
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea, doesn't it?
But yeah, I mean, I don't know who has the most top tens, but Corey has played great all year, and it's just kind of sad to see him not lock one up, you know? It's like just there. So who knows? He looks like a pretty young guy, so maybe he'll be back next year and take this experience and then be able to push it over the line next year at some point.
If he's not completely emotionally broken.
No, I don't think he is.
So, yes. So, as you said, we had Solomon in first, Corey Ellis in second, and then Paul MCB and Gannon, he's another candidate for top tens.
Yeah.
Gannon in tied third, so good on them. In FPO, now, I'm unsure, who actually won? Because I haven't managed to see. Was it Kristen or was it Natalie?
Natalie.
Natalie won. Did she win in a playoff?
It did. It was a one-hole playoff on hole 18. If it continued, it would have gone to hole 1 and then back to 18 until they figured it out.
They were just playing 1 and 18?
Yeah.
Are they close to each other then?
Yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, it was really exciting. I was pretty sure Kristen was going to make the putt on 18 in the playoff to extend the playoff back to hole 1, but she just hit short off the cage. Whoa. Like a 50-50, like it was on top of the cage, but just, it was so close. And then she just kind of looked at the crowd and like shrugged, like, oh well.
Can't win them all.
I won my worlds and pretty much everything else, so. But yeah, it was good. Good job, Natalie.
Very good, very good. And well done to Paige, who came in third. She was one shot behind the other two, so pretty good result for the end of the year, really, isn't it? I think Paige has had it. Maybe we just expect too much, but she's had a little bit of an off year, hasn't she?
I think so, but she's achieved so much. You wonder if her head's completely in the game like it used to be at times, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know, could just have been an off season. I don't know. But yeah, it'll be fun to having this competition, you know, building again next year. But with the Europeans coming over, like you got Henna now kind of showing up on the leaderboards.
Evelina.
Like, they're going to be hard to beat, and they're only getting better, you know, I think.
Exactly. It's that COVID has made, I think, made everyone forget about the Europeans, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I'd also like to say well done to VVD, Team in the Chains, Vanessa van Dyken. She got a 15th place with 14 over. Real good score. She got a 14th last week at, where was it, Green Mountain last week?
Yep.
At Green Mountain, she got a 14th. She's played her socks off as it's come to the end of the season. She's been playing really well. So, and as Duffy said, she came in 14th and 15th. She hasn't been far off the pace, to be honest. It's just the odd hole here and there that sort of, she's had a little bit of a mare, and it's unfortunate because she's been playing really good golf. So, like, well done to Vanessa. I'd also, I don't think we've got time because we've whittled on. It was the UK Women's Disc Golf Association Championships at Quarry Park the other week. I'd like to say congratulations to Bella winning the FPO there. So another In the Chains team member. The ladies are smashing it at the moment.
Nice.
From what I heard, it was a good tournament overall. Good turnout, good atmosphere. Well done to them. I'd also like to say congratulations to a friend of mine, Jake Guy. He won his first MA4 tournament. So nice. I know he's happy about it. He's telling me that he played rubbish, but still won. And I'm like, well, you didn't play that bad if you won, if you beat everyone else in your division. So well done to him. Yeah, I think that's it. Have you got any shout-outs you want to do or anything?
Yeah, that same tournament, I had Liam Pitt win advanced. He was a 1,000 rated caddy for Team Worlds GB.
Nice.
Natalie Eakin won FA1.
Well, I can't talk about her because she's Team Darksoid, isn't she?
Yeah, but she was also Team GB, so we'll act like that's the reason.
No, I don't care about that. Like, club over country, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much all I need to add to the news. I'm looking forward to the DGPT Championship. Do you know where that's going to be?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, Hornet's Nest. Is it Hornet's Nest? It has to be.
Nevin Community Park. Hornet's Nest, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was like, there's no other place.
The tickets are $15 to $250.
I wonder what 15 gets you, just one day?
15 gets you Thursday general admission. Saturday's 25, Sunday's 30.
So it's 15, 20, 25.
15, yeah. 15, 20, 25, 30.
Okay.
$250 have all sold out, and that's a 4-day VIP pass with merch. Gets you to follow the card of your choice each day, including MPO and FPO, along with access to all general admission areas and Tournament Central. You'll receive preferred parking on site, a limited edition disc, and a tournament t-shirt. For $250 for 4 days, that's not too bad, is it?
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Considering it's one of the big events of the year.
Yeah, you'll see all the top players.
Saturday night only is a Corey Wong concert.
Nice.
Who's Corey Wong?
He's a really, really good funk guitar player.
There you go. So, there you go. You could $32. That's about it, really.
Yeah, that'll be cool. And then it's USDGC? Oh, yeah. USDGC is before DGPT Champs. But anyway, it doesn't matter. So it's not this weekend, but next weekend is USDGC. So that's going to be very exciting. Yeah, and then we have Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship, and then we are done for the season, which means we'll probably not do a show every week, but...
We don't do that anyway.
But with that being said, yeah, I think we should call it.
Perfect. So
this is going to be a bear to edit, by the way.
Just leave it all in. Have we said any? We haven't said anything we can't keep in.
Yeah. No. Definitely.
We haven't really interrupted each other that much. Just mesh them together. Just cut out the bits where we're pausing and that. Just mesh it together and just post it, all of it.
I'll just take out the stuff where we talk about Duffy so he didn't cry.
He won't cry. Don't worry about that. He's up. He won't. Oh, nothing will wind me up. That's the least.
All right. Well, you want to say the tagline?
Nice. You can, mate. You can. I'm not bothered.
All right. Well, remember to...
No, go on. Go on. It's you, isn't it?
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Does he do it first?
I don't know. I can't remember. It all falls apart when he's not here, Josh. Come back, please. Please, Duffy, come back.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there, too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.